episode 2. We're not alone this week, are we, Nathan?
No, and it's good to have some company.
Yeah, it feels all professional, doesn't it?
It does.
It doesn't look professional anyway, I'll tell you that for nothing. I am joined by the legend, Saman Rezapour. Have I said that right?
The legend part, yeah.
Obviously, you've been out doing your thing out in Canada for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Snuck back for a cheeky visit here.
Mm-hmm.
Great to see you, mate.
Yeah, good to see everyone.
So, thanks. Yeah, what's occurring?
Well, I mean, where do I start? Like, I moved out there nearly 3 years ago now. Time flies and, you know, COVID happened as well. So, hence me not being able to come back sooner. But, yeah, I'm back here for a few weeks. See you guys, see some friends, familiar faces and the parents.
Keep everyone happy.
And were you playing rugby out there?
Yeah, so initially I was. I played not for long. I played... Literally, because I flew out in February of 2019, so I played the second half of the season for a club back there. And then, yeah, that summer I decided to hang up my boots, several reasons for that, but yeah. So
is that a permanent thing, or is that, you still have an itch?
I mean, I saw you at RCL the other week having sessons, and I could see you.
I was twitching.
Yeah. You're pretty keen to me.
Yeah.
I think you had a couple of cans of that.
Just wanted to. Yeah. I think initially it was... it's definite in the sense that I'm not going to come back full time, you know, sort of in and out, but it's funny
to the same extent that you would do with that, how seriously you took it before, do you think?
Yeah, well, that's the big issue I have, is that if I were to, I'm the kind of person that's all nothing. I'd rather just
yourself, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's funny because right before I came back to Lux, my old club in Canada, they were like, oh hey, we're short of front row this weekend, are you available? And I was genuinely considering, I was like, I'll give them a hand, you know, because my situation's changed since I've stopped rugby and the reason I stopped rugby. But I was like, yeah, I'm off for 3 weeks, so unfortunately I can't help you boys.
You know, I'll just break it down into two main things if I stopped playing and getting called back. Is the kit, stash. And is there a bus trip this weekend?
Yeah.
Just to give you a bit of an intro to anybody listening out there, Saman was first capped back for the national team in 2008. And has went on to win 44 caps. Okay, not the most capped person in Luxembourg. That is the legend, Nigel Sharp.
The one and only.
I think if he had the chance, he would still be playing now. You know, he always has a good November, by the way. So you want to check him out.
I'm all right.
Yeah, I guess the easiest way is to start at the end, or not the end, but where you are at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, myself and Nathan were a bit naive because we're obviously obsessed with sport. Jocks, you know.
Go sports.
You've gone completely to the opposite end of the spectrum, haven't you? So tell me, in a nutshell, 30 seconds, what do you do in Canada? How do you make the money?
Yeah, I'm basically a full-time photographer out on the Canadian West Coast, so on Vancouver Island.
Lovely.
Lovely place to live, hence why I'm not in Luxembourg anymore.
You're telling me that Luxembourg is in the center of the universe now.
Don't want to break bust your bubble. But yeah, so just full-time photographer there. I do some videography as well. And yeah, I'm fully independent. I do it as a freelancer. And yeah, that's how I bring in the moolah.
Happy days.
Yeah.
And was it when you... Yeah, what made you go out there? Why Canadian?
Yeah, okay.
If you're listening.
Well, so the premise for my move... was I wasn't enjoying my life in Luxembourg from a work perspective and just lifestyle wise. You know, everyone sort of knows it's own little bubble, and it just wasn't suited for me, and I was just not in a happy place. And so I just needed a big change. I didn't want to just move somewhere close, like in Europe or whatever. I was like, I need to do something drastic, something different. And so I don't know, I figured that I got a French passport, I can get a 2-year working holiday visa with Canada. I was like, Canada sounds amazing. I've always wanted to go there. And yeah, let's just do it. Let's go. And, you know, you and I had that conversation. And
I saw some of the work that you were doing before you left to go to Canada. And it was some fabulous work. I mean, you did the drone over Hirschberg.
Yeah.
Some pretty, I'd say, inspiration.
Yeah. Thanks.
There's certainly no reflection that you wanted to leave. It was like, wow, there's some good stuff I thought you could offer this market. This market a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's interesting because when I actually left, you know, I had the optics of doing this full time at some point, but it wasn't sort of direct, like it wasn't what I was going to do when I got there. So literally right before I left, I did a photo shoot for Sarah, you know, like she did yoga back then. And so, but I was like, I'm not taking any of your money. But as you know, the Katimas, they won't take no for an answer. Yeah. So she literally put money in my pocket as I left, you know. And then another yoga instructor through Sarah also, I did a photo shoot with her. And there I was like, you know, I don't want any money. Just if you have anything, if you know, you just donate anything you want, you know, even if it's 10 euros, I don't care, you know. Yeah. So it wasn't, but then when I got there, I was like, well, people seem to like what I do, my work, and seem to be willing to pay for me. So that's how it all started off. I was like, okay, well, let's build something here. Obviously, I had to still work a full-time job when I got there. But on the side, you know, you put in the extra hours to build your business. And then eventually you make that switch, that flip.
Take the plunge, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that happened maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago now.
I mean, that's awesome. Awesome to hear, mate. My experience is very much the same, you know.
Yeah.
I'm from a fairly secure, or going over, you know, around this sort of thing, but yeah, much from the teaching, the secure thing, to now having to go out and, you know, essentially you have to go out and hustle, you know.
Yeah.
And it is, I find it very motivating.
Oh, yeah.
To have to get up in the morning, you know, you have a bad day, you've got to go out and have a good day tomorrow, and it's,
yeah,
you're in charge, you know. It's both of you before what you're doing about it, you know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
I wouldn't have it any other way though.
No,
like
we get a massive reward out of it for ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Of what we do, and we're proud of your work.
Yeah, exactly, right. And I think the overarching lesson I got out of it is, or sort of learning curve, is that some days or some weeks, you know, it'll be slow and you'll sort of doubt yourself.
Yeah.
But then literally you don't know what tomorrow holds, and tomorrow something might come your way and, you know, you'll be like, oh my God, this is amazing, right?
But you'll leave yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery.
Yeah, exactly.
No, mate, it's quite funny you say that, but I think in this line of work, and not just in this line of work, I think normal people need bad days and good days. Like, I think people who say they have awesome days every day are talking tosh, because I think you need that bad day when you're down and stuff, and you need to,
it's all like
re-energize and bounce back again.
You don't appreciate the good weather if it's good weather all the time, right?
Yeah.
So you need the rainy days sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me, you went to New Zealand to play rugby for a period, didn't you?
Yeah, right.
Can you tell me what was going with that? How did that all tee up?
Yeah, that was ages ago. So that was right out of school. I was initially gonna, well, just start university in the UK. I think I hadn't got an offer yet, but that was what I was gonna do. And then Marty back then, the national team coach and development officer, wanted to use me as a development player for the national team and send me to New Zealand to play rugby there for a season and, you know, sort of improve my skills and all that, and then come back and obviously bring back to the national team. And so that's what happened.
And you did? You did bring back some skills?
I think I did, yeah. I think so, yeah.
North Island, South Island, because Marty's from, I know he spent a lot of time in the South Island.
He's from the North Island, I think.
He's from the North Island, but he spent a lot of time just outside of Blenheim because he was in the Air Force, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I stayed in Christchurch, so
what club did you play for?
HSOB, so high school boys. Dan Carter's old club, Major Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
wow. Big club, yeah.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah. Like a bunch of others. I can't.
And so Marty helped tee that up or got the college.
Yeah, so I think one of his mates, who I think was in the Air Force with him or something like that, was the development officer at that club. So through him, he basically sent me there.
What a fabulous opportunity.
Oh, it's unreal. I'm playing for a club that has so much history and all these players came out of it, you know, played for All Blacks and everything. Like, the club actually got bored with all the All Blacks who played with the club. It's just unreal experience, yeah.
So did you go to, what were you in the Colts?
Colts, yeah.
Under-20s,
under-20s, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, played for a season there.
Where did you go? What position did you go?
So, yeah, that's a good one. I think that's one of the big things that I came out of being New Zealand, is that I went as a back row, and I went there, and I was, like, mind blown. I was like, oh, okay. This is what being a back row actually means.
So this is how rugby.
Yeah, literally. I'm not even joking. Yeah, I was like, but in a good way. I was like, it was a huge learning. I was like, okay, I'm way behind as a back row. I'm not.
Yeah.
And so Marty was trying to convert me to hooker, which nothing wrong. I was like open to, you know, moving around.
Basically bullying. Like,
it is, it is. But I was open to, you know, wherever you see me fit, like that's fine. You know, but the thing is I can throw for my life, as many extra hours I put in everything. And so they sort of tried me at prop and it seemed to click. Yeah. Even though I wasn't, I didn't, you know, I was like 90 kgs, even for under 20, like it's quite slim, but I think I naturally had the technique and stuff for it and seemed like a naturally good position for me. And so that's sort of how I became prop.
Great, great. So you did a season out there,
yeah,
in Christchurch, and then you came back. But because I remember very clearly when you came back,
mm-hmm,
that the national team and I'd say even RCL you played for, they benefited quite a lot. I mean, I remember seeing you play. It was, you know, I remember you as a young little fella playing. Yeah. It was hard to compare the difference that you would improve.
Yeah, it's hard to come back because...
Leadership, I should say leadership as well.
Yeah, even that I was going to say, but it's hard to just in general come back because back then it was all the old guard and not just purely physically because, I mean, they had maybe the physical attributes, but just from mental point of view, there was such a disparity and we needed to move away from that and move on. And yeah, it was hard at the start to do that because I was the only real like young guy coming into the national team. And as you said, with the leadership part, I captained my first team in my first game for the national team at the age of 19, I think. And I was literally 19 years old and the next youngest person was like mid to end of their 20s,
yeah,
and everyone else was like 30 plus, yeah, you know.
Credit where credit's due, big responsibility. Marty gave you that opportunity, yeah, as well, and because, yeah, how long was he for after when you got back? Another couple of seasons, wasn't it?
Oh, more than that. Yeah,
yeah, for a long time.
Yeah, a long time. Like,
I think when I started in 2014, I think I was like the tail end where,
yeah,
that natural progression of filtering the old guys out,
yeah,
the young guys.
Yeah. But it was funny that first game was against Finland, I remember, and I had a horrible game because obviously the pressure of, you know, leading a team that's a lot older than you and all that. But Marty put me in the room with Paul Evans, who was back then. He earned his first cap at I think the age of 40, but he was still an unreal player at the age of 40.
He played for the Barbarians.
He played for
North of England as well.
Yeah, West Hartlepool, who before professional era were actually in Premiership.
Yeah, so it was done all similar to what it's like in New Zealand. It's all like rep rugby. So you play for your club, you play for your county. County rugby used to be massive in the UK,
yeah,
but then obviously, you know,
yeah,
professional rugby took over.
Yeah, so yeah, he put me in a room with him, I guess, to sort of, you know, try and, you know, as a mentor sort of during the weekend, you know, sort of if I need to chat with anyone, you know.
Well, he was out all week.
He was... yeah, that guy's got some good stories to tell. But yeah, so that was it. But yeah, it was a great experience and yeah, went on to captain the team for the next, I don't even know, six, seven, 8 years, I don't know. I think I'm the most capped player as captain, in fact. I don't even know. I don't even know.
One of the funniest memories I have of you is, I'm going to have you throw you under the bus.
All right, let's do it.
Who will we be playing? I don't know. We were training down at Walford Orange. And they had that, you know, the floodlights were great down there back in the day. I can't remember what happened. We were trying to run this option. You basically lost your sugar and the iced tea. And then tried to kick the ball.
Really? I don't remember that.
Big slice and went into this big and we were laughing.
Selective memory.
Speaking of actually, so I was away with Robin Dex this weekend. We were playing Sweden, obviously.
Yeah.
You probably saw the score sign.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Picked up a silver medal. I was training with Dex, this is probably about 3 years ago, and he rocked up late for training. And we used to have this little setup called an alpha, and it just to basically give you a little structure in open play for the forwards. You have like one guy who's your first receiver, you have a guy on in his pocket that's like a latch who can punch him through contact, you've got a guy outside him for a little plus, or you could play the pocket out of the back. And I was like, right, all you're going to do is you're going to practice first receiver, and all I want you to do is practice stepping off the inside leg and going outside. You're just trying to get out the outside shoulder. So the guys are getting used to taking the ball off nines, getting the ball, bang, step outside the pad. So Dex comes up, bang, drops the ball. Oh, it's warmed up, don't worry about it. Comes around again, drops the ball again. You just see him getting more and more.
Oh,
I'm not even joking, mate. Drops the ball 4 times in a row. right? So at this stage, it's like, you're well and good for, you know, giving someone a boost of confidence, mate. But if somebody's down, you've got to keep them down. Anyway, being egged on or whatever. Anyway, he comes around the fifth time to do it, gets past the ball, knocks it on again. He's like, F this! Hoofs the ball over the buvette and then just walks down to the car park and goes home from training.
You want to hear a funny story about Dex's catching skills? Back when Marty was still there. Because obviously that was an issue. Like, other than that, Dex is like powerful, fast runner on the wing. You know, he's a good finisher. Once he gets the ball in hand, then it's
he'll run over. He's solid.
He'll tackle also in defense.
Yeah, he's a good tackler, but mate, if you don't go in,
He's strong.
Against him, he'll sit you on his area.
But so a few years ago, Marty was trying to address that, like the catching situation, and I don't know if he actually made him do it in the end or not, but he suggested, I was talking to him at the end of the session, he's like, yeah, man, I've got an idea for Dex to do something, a training so that he can improve his passing while he trains with everyone else. And it's basically, you know, those little stress reliever, like rugby balls, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but mate, I'm basically going to like cut one in half and put one half in each one of his palms so it forces him to catch the ball with his fingertips rather than like, and I was like, well, I mean, that's genius. Like, that would probably work, but whether he's going to want to do it or not, you know? But yeah, that's just funny.
Speaking of catching, you're starting to hear about his catching.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Say Ukraine.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, that could be one of the best prize ever scores for Lux. Obviously, it was involved. Blowing with spoke of my trumpet.
I'm a front row, okay? I'm not meant to be doing this stuff.
Well, don't you say an excuse.
I'll do that video later.
Oh, boy.
Basically, they kick to us. I kick it back into the corner. And then they play a couple of phases. Kick out. Don't find touch. Remove the ball. Their scrum half isn't in the line. So I chip over. Regather. Gareth Jeffries on the inside of me. I pop it to him, right? And I can steal pictures. I have to do the noise to do it, right? And then Gareth pops it on the inside and it is in the bread basket. And Saman is just literally like, oh, the big seal.
Literally. Right. I'll never forget that. Oh!
Whose fault's that?
Every week there's
every
one.
Every week there's always one. It's probably quite important.
Oh, that was me.
Wait for that.
So, socks up or socks down?
Socks up.
Good man, you're my team.
Yeah, we're slowly building a team.
Will Skelton's not, but he's got big calves, so maybe he is.
Which is fair.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair.
You're the first front row here, so.
Who? Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Yeah, no, socks up all the time. Where'd you put your mouth guard then? Oh, whatever, overrated.
Yeah, so as we alluded to earlier, we had a tough old weekend in Sweden.
Yeah, I watched the game,
Oh, mate, the travel was brutal. We were up like, had to be at the airport for 4 on Thursday, one flight at 6, and then the second one was at like 11 o'clock or 10:30 or something in Amsterdam. Then we got into Stockholm, and then we must have been on the bus for 4 hours. We were stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Didn't get to the hotel until probably gone 6:30. That's a long, long day of travelling. Quick walk through. Unbelievable jacuzzi and sauna on the roof of the hotel.
Yeah, nice.
And then pretty heavy training day on Friday. A lot of new faces.
Yeah.
The players come in like, Sweden just
big and
well drilled, mate.
Most of them playing in the UK.
Yeah.
No.
Because they were like that when they played here last summer. Yeah.
There's a few though that
they got a couple of boys who play in London and stuff. Like that.
One of them played Moseley, I think.
Yeah, one plays guys who play down in like London, Richmond, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're a good team. Most of them sound enough as well, you know. A bit weird though, no, so there was no function after.
Oh really? Because of COVID?
Yeah, but doesn't really make sense. I think that's like a rugby Europe thing.
No,
because
possibly.
Obviously, you know some of the players, you contact them, and then you meet up.
Meet you at McDonald's after.
For the bon soirée. That was a tough old day at the office. Bit of a baptism of fire for some of the lads who are their first cap. We have to play Czech Republic in a month's time.
That'll be spicy.
Yeah, well, it depends what team they're
home or away.
Home, so it'll be at the
new stadium. Okay.
6 o'clock kickoff as well, so she'll be mint under the
Floodlights, nice.
Touch wood to get selected.
Saturday night lights.
But yeah, Czech Republic are a, a, if they bring their team based in the Czech Republic, you know, then it's a different kettle of fish. But if they bring in all the boys who are playing
in France and all that, yeah,
that's a professional team near enough, you know what I mean?
Which they could do if they're so close to France, it's probably logistically easier to bring their...
Potentially, but it depends if they want to go up, because that's the thing, is like, you know, you go up to that league above and it's a big step up. Like, even when we played again, that first year we went up into that league. Mm-hmm.
Into the one you're at now?
Yeah. When we had to play, like, who did we play? Like, Latvia, Sweden?
Yeah, Ukraine.
Yeah.
And Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Czech Republic. And then Czech Republic ended up going up. Yeah. But I remember that game. That was the game I actually did my Achilles. But we actually ended up, we lost. They scored four tries against us. But we had the best defense against them, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I remember that. Like, we did the best, you know, we could. They smashed all the other teams.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
See what happens. Yeah. Hopefully, we'll Big Jos, he's out injured.
Oh, is he?
He's blown out his ACL, so hopefully he gets better soon.
Like Quentin, I saw a story.
Yeah, he smashed his hand, so yeah. He's been a big miss.
Yeah.
But
so yeah. What was the halftime score?
24-7? No, you didn't.
24-0.
24-0 to halftime. Full-time score?
51-5. Yep.
Oh, jeez.
Never had 50 for me. National team level, but
it's a big score.
Do you want to join the club?
Almost better than the All Blacks in the weekend.
That was an interesting one.
It's like, well, at least we didn't lose by 100 points.
Worse. Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
You've got to be worried about, it's actually, yes, 104-14.
You've got to be worried about the state of America rugby. I mean, they beat the balls at Uruguay, Paraguay.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, though, because the US, everyone's like, oh, if the US can get it right, you know, they'll be amazing in years to come, but the reality is
they don't have that structure in place.
But even if they had the structure, they will never be ahead of basketball, American football.
Oh yeah.
No,
yeah.
But they're not, but it's a numbers game. But can they get some of the
offcuts?
Yeah, they're gonna be good. It's a numbers game.
I don't think the culture is there. You know, like, you look at New Zealand culture in rugby, and then you look at, well, just, yeah, sure, it's a sporting nation, but rugby wise specifically, it's way behind, you know, culturally.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
It's a long game. MLR, I was going to say, going to help, maybe getting it into universities,
yeah, maybe
would help.
But you say the MLR, but the only reason that's really interesting is because you've got all the
stars going in your career
and stuff like that.
But also, like, you look at, comparing New Zealand again, you know, New Zealand grassroots rugby is just unreal there. You know, I mean, I've been there, you've lived there, you're from there. And then you look at the States, I mean, I don't believe the grassroots rugby there is that great. But then you look at grassroots anything else, look at high school football. Unbelievable. It's like thousands of people come watch that, you know?
Yeah. You want to watch a tame, interesting TV show, actually. It's mad that this
is the Netflix one.
No, it's not the Netflix one. I'm trying to think what it's on. But have you ever seen Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So there was a spin-off of that called Friday Night Tykes. And this just followed pee-wee football. So these kids are like 6, 7, 8 years old, getting tapped up by, like, college scouts and stuff like that.
Insane.
And, like, you know, the training that these kids get put through and stuff like that. I'll show you an episode of it, and you watch it and you decide if it's wrong, and you see the coaches getting into rows and you're like, we don't care, we'll play them on the concrete, you know, mm-hmm. just going at each other, swearing at kids and stuff like that, teaching them to head-on-head tackle and all this sort of stuff. And, like, yes, it is wrong, but you look at the athletes that this competitive nature breeds, you know, because the NFL, those guys got to be top of the pile, haven't they, in terms of team sports, in terms of their...
Athleticism?
Yeah,
certainly.
You know, but yeah, Friday Night Tights is an interesting one to watch. Now, Wales, when playing this isn't just a rugby pod, by the way.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
We might talk about a few sports, just...
we don't want to copy the rugby pod, actually. We don't want to copy them.
Yeah.
You guys don't want to copy the rugby pod anyway, so.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, Wales may be playing the All Blacks, or they are playing the All Blacks on Saturday, but I don't think Wales will be fully loaded.
Cuthbert's back.
The club's not releasing players?
Well, so if you play outside of something weird with the Premiership rugby and French rugby. You only can only be released for 3 internationals, isn't it?
Oh, really?
So why do Wales put on 4? Obviously, it's for money. But, like, lads, let's not put the ABs down as the first one, huh? Yeah. You want to be as strong as possible.
You'd like to think so. Well, the ABs need the cash as well, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do they get? What do they get from
that? Well, I heard that they got, I believe I read $3 million for the game in the against the US. So I said, what was the point? Well, the point is $3 million.
Yeah, especially after COVID.
We'll get whatever we can. Yeah. Then we'll probably take a number.
I assume also they did that $2 million, because US are like doing their bid for the World Cup and whenever it is. So
that was another spin-off that came off that topic actually. Well, what was the point?
Yeah.
This is a side that wants to host the Rugby World Cup,
mm-hmm.
but it just gets 100 points put against them. So, I mean, I'd love to see the Rugby World Cup in America.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Rugby. Yeah. That'd be
right for it, wouldn't it? Random one. What about Man U getting pumped at home?
I thought you were going to start with what about West Ham winning 1-0 against Tottenham?
That big result.
It was a huge result. Absolutely screamer.
Who scored?
Antonio. Got on the inside.
Oh, yeah, Antonio. Football, right?
Don't you mean soccer?
Yeah.
Outside foot. Put it in on the 70th minute. 1-0.
West Ham mid-table now, are they? Are they in the Championship or are they in the top league now? I can't remember.
Fourth
in the Championship.
Premiership.
Oh, okay.
Fourth in Premiership.
Very good.
Well, come on to lower down the table, man. You got absolutely hammered 5-0.
Didn't they? I saw a funny video of you with Jesse Lingard, basically getting heckled by all the fans. He's like, I'm not even on the pitch. That's what the subs are.
He's another one that wants to go to West Ham.
Do you think Solskjaer is on the way out there?
It'd be stupid to get rid of him.
Yeah, right.
I think it's a great opportunity for him now to get these bunch of overpaid players who are bloody good, by the way. Yeah. They're just not gelling. So something's wrong, and I think it's up to them to take a bit of ownership. Anyway, who cares? It's Man U.
Just we'll finish. We'll wrap up the rugby here, but I know RCL. Had a good win against the Kaiserslautern Wolverines. Now, there's a word.
Isn't that the US military base
club? Yeah, the Honey Badgers.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be all right then.
Because they're physical.
Yeah. They don't have a notion in terms of tactics.
Yeah.
You run straight at them and they will. Yeah. The Wolfenage ladies, they went down 15-13 to RC Pajot, P-A-J-O-T.
What league do they play in?
They play in the third division in Belgium. RCL
also have a ladies team as
no,
well.
No, they don't.
So let's say most of the ladies that want to play footy, they go and play.
Absolutely.
When I say footy, I refer to rugby, of course.
They've got a tough one, so they have to play all of their games away this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's something to do with the COVID. Obviously, with COVID.
Oh, like Belgian teams not wanting to come to Lux.
Could be. But I was reading there that they have to.
Wow.
Have to do that. So that's tough, because that's one of the hardest bits about Lux is people love playing the home games and not going away for the AO.
Shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
The home game's the best bit.
Yeah. Skydive in the bus.
Their coach gets some good content out on Instagram, so that's good to see. Love to see that.
So Wolfenange ladies.
Yeah. RC Wolfenage ladies, yeah. Speaking of content, do you know who loves a morning Instagram post at Stade Francais?
James Kent.
He's just a cleaner there or something.
He's just a janitor.
Yeah, exactly. There's no one there.
Yeah, exactly. Post the same video all the time.
Like sneaks in, you know?
Yeah. No, good to see the big rig doing really well.
Yeah.
He was away with the French team.
Yeah, I caught up with him last week over coffee, and I was really stoked for him.
Oh, he's doing incredibly
well. He's doing amazing. And all in such a short period of time, it just sort of...
You can remember, he was hustling as soon as he came out here.
Yeah, he was. So, yeah, down in the Monaco Sevens as well.
Went down and supported them. Went to
Monaco.
Aix-en-Provence. Watched the first game.
Nice.
Or the first tournament.
Yeah. The next one is not next week.
They had three events. They had one in Aix-en-Provence, then they had another one in Toulouse, and the other one was in... Wasn't in Paris, it was in the south somewhere.
on the coast, perhaps it was, I can't remember. Yeah. Anyway, there were three events, and Monaco won the last two events. And so they're in the Super Sixes, it was called.
Yeah.
And they're now in the, they're in the finals, which is mid-November. So I think in a couple of weeks, they're going to be...
Big name in the team as well, so South Africa and Michalak at the coaching. And
that's right, yeah. Brilliant opportunity. Buzzing for him.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Me some
stash?
Gym shorts. Oh.
Hide those pins.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Need to get some colour on them. Read a funny one there. There was a football match in Luxembourg this weekend that was abandoned.
COVID?
No.
Wasn't like
there, wasn't, there wasn't enough beer tents.
Nope.
not enough burgers.
Touringers.
I know why the taco shop wasn't there.
Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough.
Exactly. Vicente, you need to get your act. the game between Oriana Vianden and US Reisdorf was abandoned because
in what sense did they start and then abandon it, or
yeah,
did they?
So the game was being played and then the game was abandoned in the middle of it. The game was called off after bangers were set off in the crowd, okay? And then once they called it off, things got out of hand and a big brawl erupted.
Between the players or between the fans?
What division is this?
It's the fourth division.
Oh, okay.
What a bunch of clowns.
They love it, actually.
Bunch of clowns.
Ice hockey as well.
Cool.
Okay, the Luxembourg Tornado. They play in the third division in France.
That's not too bad, is it? Isn't ice hockey quite good in France? Well, not quite, but obviously it's all relative. But
yeah, but I honestly couldn't tell you. They lost 9-5. Tornado's goals were scored by Henry Orny, Vlad Schlest, Anton Thomas, and Colm Cannon. I don't know. There's a few nationalities and no names there, isn't there?
Yeah.
That first one looks Finnish.
Yeah.
The second one looks... I think Vlad, he has to be Ukraine with Schlesht with a little bit of Russian. Yeah. With a bit of Russian with Luxembourgish.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, what is pleasing to see is obviously, you know, touch wood, if we get at the end of this whole COVID thing, all the sport we can really get back into. Obviously, as we've said to a lot of people before, I mean, Nathan, are both big believers in all the youngsters getting into sport.
Yeah.
You know,
Have a go.
From an early age as possible, obviously with my little lines, and he obviously does the top squash and stuff like that. But it's almost like these youngsters have almost missed out on a big chunk of you know, being able to go outside.
Massively. I told you about that squash tournament that I organised for the little ones. Did I mention that last week? Yeah. It was just phenomenal to see these. They're just so happy, so energizing for these young kids just to be running around and competing or trying to compete. They're trying.
Yeah, yeah.
And they really enjoyed it. You see that they've definitely got all their little endorphins were buzzing around.
That's awesome.
That was very, very, very rewarding.
Yeah. I mean, I did the photo session for Little Lions a couple of weeks ago, and it was my first time going to one, and it was just really nice to see all the kids having so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, absolutely knackered. Fall asleep in the car. Yeah, yeah. Home. If that's what you want for the weekend, bring it down.
Yeah.
Sunday morning. Yeah, we're pushing to try and get more sessions off the ground, but I still think a lot of places are quite cagey, quite wary of the whole COVID thing, you know. Yeah, we obviously can't look forward to...
And as of the 1st of November, the rules will change. For our venue, it'll change. It'll be basically a COVID check centre. So no vaccine. No PCR. You can't come in. I mean,
everyone's got it on their phone anyway these days.
Well, if you've had the vaccine. But if you haven't, bad luck. I guess the argument is that if you've got the vaccine, you're trying to move forward. If you haven't got a vaccine, you're not trying to move forward. So at a certain point, they go, well, those that haven't got a vaccine, then you don't move forward. And then the ones that have got a vaccine, you can move forward.
Yeah.
I guess that's taking just a hard line. Whether some people are going to think it's right or wrong or look at other stats, but that's the way personally I view it.
What sport did you play as a youngster?
Squash.
Yeah, actually quite.
Is he the one that got away, Nathan, is he?
The prodigy. Project player. No.
Project player. Speaking of project player, just to jump in there.
Yeah.
So I'd like to give a shout out to a good friend of mine, Oshin Kilgallen. He won his first cap from the bench at the weekend. He actually came back from quite a serious Achilles injury there
Some may say too soon.
Some
may say too soon.
Well, you know, he got through it, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
But yeah, so it was great for him to win his first cap. There was a running joke that he was Luxembourg's first declared project player. So much to the extent where everyone would be like, oh, that's the project going, lad, and stuff like that.
I thought the first project was Token. Where did it happen to him? Did he fall off the face of the earth?
What was he, the what was he, a project player?
No, not a project player, but he was the first project of Luxembourg.
I see what you mean. Okay, yeah. In that sense. I mean, what do you mean? Like,
yeah, wait, I don't know what happened to him. I don't see him up at RCL.
I have no idea.
Probably got kids.
Maybe, who knows?
Token, if you're there, give us a shout.
Yeah. Sports. I started off with karate when I was like 5. And then that only lasted a couple of years, and then I went to squash and tennis.
He was Kubel, so he can't play squash. He was a good squash player. There's a lot of them. Samar, Danny
Hassel. Bossed the team, mate.
Yeah.
He did boss the team. He was a good player.
So, yeah. But I did squash and tennis sort of in parallel. Like,
yeah, I wasn't happy about the tennis. The squash,
I know you weren't, yeah.
You were two hands in the racket.
Yeah.
He played a few tournaments.
Yeah, but I think then I did tennis to just do squash, and then after that I discovered rugby, and yeah, I just did that really.
Yeah.
It was quite a funny incident where you know, it was a Gauthier Barrez, is the French guy who comes over from near Bordeaux, from Armand. Absolutely hilarious, I swear. I tell you what, if I could communicate with him properly, me and him would be dangerous sometimes. And Oshin's brother plays for Connor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so scored his first try for Connor against Ulster there. Mm. We were actually watching the game. So
Oshie is a Luxembourger.
It's like you saying, I'm an Irishman because I've got an Irish passport. You know what I mean?
He just got, like...
He's got the 3-year residency.
Yeah, residency.
He'll be the last...
Sneaking
before the end of the year.
5 years after, right?
I thought he was born in Luxembourg, Luxembourg from the north.
Ask him. Ask him. Are you listening? Tell us. Tell us the truth, huh? Basically, I kept winding up Barrett. Be like, do you know Oshin? He's like, yes, I know Oshin. His brother played for Connor. He scored a try.
It's funny, on Saturday, I was watching the game, the Lux game, at Appa's place with Kaz and Dara. I was just about to say, he kept saying, it was hilarious, just kept saying how Oshin should be playing in the front row. Yeah, yeah, like,
sorry Oshin, we can't delete that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry Dara, I just rat you out.
That's
what it is.
I think everyone can play front row on
who? Yeah, it wasn't great, but okay. Well, what about that that last try Sweden scored, the hooker, 80-meter intercept.
Yeah, I didn't throw it.
No, I know. Yeah. Yikes.
And the hooker ran
80 meters.
80 meters?
Yeah.
A better haircut than you two, huh?
Well, who's playing fullback? No one could cut him down?
I don't know. Those rug things.
Nathan and I always talk about the basketball.
Yeah.
Okay. Try and give all the results a shout out here. No one from any of these clubs ever gets in touch with us. Okay.
Oh, really?
Listen to us. But anyway, we'll start things off. Nathan, one of the big topics we were talking about is, why are so many results in basketball so close? You know, it always goes down to the buzzer.
Always. They play the last 3 minutes. Takes 25 minutes.
It's fixed. So we'll go through a few of these results. And you can obviously throw your 50p in. So Sparta, Bertrange, they went down to Arantia, La Rochette, 77-69. AB Contern went down 102-97 to T71, Doulange. That's your team, isn't it?
Is it T71?
T71, I can't remember. It sounds like it's a Russian tank, isn't it?
Get excited about what
they're doing. Racing Luxembourg. They got pumped.
Yeah, so yeah, is that like a big result then? Like a big,
that's
big
a
win?
Hammering.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Points, yeah, being used to basketball, Escher. Residence went down to Estella Etelbrook.
That's your team. We're talking our in the men's.
It says my team, but yeah.
Well, who your friends play for them?
Yeah, well, I know a couple of people who played for the ladies. I'm going to pick a new team this year. I'm going to follow Arantia, La Rochette, and sounds cool. That's my team. And they won at the weekend. So okay. My team will probably change next week. Moselle Pikes, they got pumped by US Heffingham.
This is first division.
This is the real deal.
Yeah, okay.
So we're allowed two pros at this level. In these
teams. Is it not a pro league? Surely players get paid, no?
Yeah,
but it's not. It's like semi-pro. Yeah, like the movie.
Semi-pro, yeah.
Great.
Don't get me started.
I know.
A whole podcast.
I bet.
AB Conta beat Basket Esh by 10 points, 71-61. T71, they won against Moselle Pikes by 8 points, 73-65. Here's a good one. Le Sanglier Woods beat Sparta Bertrange 74-70. Sanglier, isn't that ball?
Yeah,
isn't that
wild ball, yeah.
What a sick name. Residence, they pumped Estella 91-73. And then look, Grangewald beat
Sparta
67-63. See how they're always they're always quite close, aren't they?
Is it just because like how they restart, it's just like ball, you know, it's like there, so it's just like back and forth this point, really.
You do get the odd pumping, I mean, I guess it's what makes it for an exciting sport.
Yeah.
Well, I'd imagine if they know you're going to win, then you rest all the big dogs, don't you? Wouldn't you? If you're winning by loads, you give your best players a rest, don't you?
Yeah, but you can't. I mean, this happens every game. I mean, we can go and watch TVB Trier playing Frankfurt this weekend, and it'll be a close game, guaranteed.
Personally, like the whole scoring points thing, that's one of the reasons I find football quite boring, because it's like 1-0, 1-1. You know what I mean? It's like, and it's 90 minutes, you know? Basketball.
Yeah.
I think that depends a lot.
Many things frustrating with football.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I don't know anything about it.
But I think if you were brought up and you played football your whole life, you
would
see it differently.
Of course.
It's like with cricket. So if I said, here's a man, we're going to go and watch a test match here, and it's going to be 5 days long.
What? You're out?
Oh,
you don't like it?
Cricket?
Oh, a 5-day, eh?
If there's a few bevies, then maybe. I guess it's all principle with bringing rugby sevens back into the Olympics, because sevens is way more interesting and, you know, entertaining
it's
to watch.
Faster, isn't it?
Exactly, right? So.
Yeah, unfortunately, test match cricket is sort of to slowly sort of die out. But me personally, having grown up watching cricket, I could watch every ball of a test match. And most of the time,
doesn't it all go for all day long for 5 days?
Yeah, but most of the time,
do you have nothing better to do? Yeah, well, exactly.
All my holidays, innit? Most of the time, nothing happens.
Yeah.
But something could happen. And that's the big thing. But we all have reasons why we prefer certain sports and stuff.
Yeah,
like
for
that.
Sure.
The big man's into his darts.
Oh, okay.
We like the darts.
Interesting.
Yeah, we like darts.
180.
Well, it's also what happens on the sidelines as
absolutely.
You know, so don't do it if you can't.
The,
do it, but socialising on the side.
So, man, what's the crack moving forward? You're obviously not back in Lux forever.
No, I'm flying back out this Friday.
What's that? Frankfurt?
Yeah, Luxembourg, Frankfurt, then Vancouver, then Victoria.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pretty easy.
Are you flying with?
Lufthansa.
Yeah.
And what's the no quarantining to be done?
No, as long as I'm actually this afternoon. I'm double vaccinated, so you have to be vaccinated to get back into Canada. And then on top of that, you have to do the PCR test, which I'm doing this afternoon. And that's got to be nice. That's the kind of annoying thing, is that until you get the PCR test, which usually typically is within the 24 hours you fly.
Yes.
If it comes back for whatever reason, then you got COVID. Then your whole flights are buggered, right? You can't do anything.
Yeah,
but I mean, I don't think I have it. You know, I'm like, I feel fine and all that. But again, who knows? Because with the vaccine, the symptoms are like near to none. So maybe I feel fine and I have it. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing. If you look after yourself. And
exactly. You're healthy.
You weren't any raves this weekend, were you?
No, exactly. So I think I'm fine, but it's just, you know, that added stress, right?
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, otherwise, it should be good.
But what about in terms of the work point of view? Are you lined up?
Yeah.
Go back into it as soon as you get back.
I mean, I've been working since I've been back. I've been working here remotely, and then I got a couple of gigs here, you know, including Little Lions as well. So that was nice.
Guild Yeah, he's got some work, man. Yeah, I suppose so. No, I've actually got your email earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Videos will be coming in soon as well.
Pumped out some cool stuff as well.
And then...
it's an interesting one. I think, like, sort of that social media is almost... It's almost like a couple of years behind out here.
It is, you know? 100%. But the thing is, like, I get it. They might not need it necessarily because it's a lot of word of mouth, which is fair enough. But then... I've noticed since I've been back, there's like all these new restaurants that have opened up here that look really fancy and they look really cool, and their social media are actually working so well. They've got like 7,000-8,000 followers.
Yeah.
They hired obviously photographers. They're doing things right, and they've got a huge following, which proves that it actually works.
Yeah.
You know, so why don't the rest follow suit? I don't know. Like, it's just
It's hard work. I don't know. It's hard work. It's almost like it's a full-time job to try and keep up on
it is, but that's why you hire people, whether it's internally or, you know, hire, you know, contractors where to do it for you, you know. You can't, as a business owner, and you guys probably know, you can't do everything, you know. As soon as you can, you've got to delegate and, you know, pay people to do it for you. So, and that's how you grow as a business as well. If you take everything on, you're never going to grow.
Yeah.
Careful, you're going to turn this into a business podcast. I think we'll wrap things up there. As I said, we're only getting back into the swing of things here. Absolutely buzzing to hear. Firstly, you're enjoying yourself. I mean, that's the most important thing. Sounds a bit cheesy or cliche to be like, oh, I love what I do. But, you know, I'm in a similar position myself, but don't make no bones about it. Every day isn't smooth sailing and stuff, but that's the carrot of it all.
For sure.
Yeah, the nature of the beast, isn't it?
I mean, like, you know, doesn't mean I stop rugby, I stop playing sports, you know, like, you know, I obviously still go to the gym, but, you know, yeah, I know I've lost a bit of weight, but, you know, I don't need to be 110 kilos anymore. I don't play rugby. So, but yeah, I'm looking to maybe, like, for example, go into, you know, rock climbing, mountaineering and all that kind of stuff, which is exciting and it's sport in itself. So,
yeah.
There's so much to do out there, surf, kayak, you name it, which is really amazing. But yeah.
You're in a fabulous part of the world, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're welcome to visit anytime, boys.
Be careful, we'll hold you to that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
Yeah. Take it easy, yeah?
Cheers.
Right. Cheers.
Cheers.